Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains August 8th through the 14th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Hey guys, and welcome to Mysteries and Histories with me, your host, Georgia Marie. This podcast audio is adapted from my YouTube channel. I wanted to make my content more accessible for those of you on the go, and we all love a podcast. So if I ever reference anything on screen or a photograph, please bear in mind this audio was originally made for video. It won't hinder your listening experience at all, but just to save any confusion. And if you do want to go and subscribe to my channel, I'm just Georgia Marie over on YouTube. And with that, let's get into it. Today, I want to cover a case from 1990, which has had a recent push in publicity. People very closely linked to this story are working really, really hard to spread the word and to finally find answers. And hey, that's what my channel is here for. So let me tell you the story of Penny Doe, a murder victim who's remained unidentified for 32 years. And of course, with no identity, no killer has ever been found either. Penny's story takes place in Monroe Township in Clarion County, Pennsylvania on the 22nd of July 1990. A 7-year-old girl called Angie Klinger was out playing with her 10-year-old brother and their neighbours, a 10-year-old boy and a 12-year-old girl. As Angie told Dateline fairly recently, "It was the day before my birthday, that's one reason I'll never forget it. I was 7, turning 8. My brother, myself, and our 2 neighbour kids that we grew up with, we always hung out around the area. We could, you know, walk for miles. We would hike, play in the woods, pick berries," which is exactly what they were doing on the day in question. It was just a normal day for them, and they were playing in and around this tunnel that they always played in under the railway tracks. The tunnel was a culvert carrying a stream under the railway, and although this wasn't their sort of main goal of the afternoon, they'd also brought with them containers to collect some berries, so they were having a little explore. Specifically, this culvert was just off of Township Route 555 in Monroe Township. It was a fairly quiet area, and whilst playing, Angie said she smelled something bad. But she has said that being from this area, she was very used to the smell of decaying carcasses, deers mostly, so the smell didn't immediately bother her. And neither did the sight of a decaying body when she first saw it, because again, she just assumed it was a deer. However, quite quickly she realised it was actually a human body, that of someone lying face down in just a couple of inches of water. She would later say that she saw mostly bones, there wasn't really much flesh left on the body. So her and the children ran to the neighbour's house to share what they'd seen, and the parents called the police, who very quickly attended the scene. They found the body to be that of a woman dressed in a black t-shirt and blue jeans, with brown hair that was no longer attached to the body. The autopsy was soon conducted at Allegheny County Morgue, where it was determined that this woman was white, 15 to 20 years old, approximately 5'1 to 5'2, and weighed between 105 to 110 pounds, so this was a very small woman. She was wearing black jeans from the brand Gitano Express in a size 9 to 10, Fruit of the Loom panties in a size 7, and a black Stoplight of California t-shirt with an attached floral vest. There was no bra found on or near the body. And she didn't have any sort of identifying items on her at the time she was found. However, she did have a penny in each of her front pockets, hence the nickname we know her as today, Penny Doe. It's not known if the pennies were put there on purpose, if the killer kind of left them as some kind of calling card, because one penny in each of the front pockets is a bit strange. I mean, generally people keep all their change in the same pocket and you have varying amounts of change. But it could well have just been that, spare pennies in each pocket, something the killer didn't deem important enough to discard of when he was clearly clearing her pockets out. Estimates put Penny Doe's time of death, date of death, 4 to 6 weeks before she'd been discovered, of course allowing for the fact that it was the summer and the summer heat will have sped up her decomposition. She was believed to have suffered blunt force trauma to the right side of her skull, likely being the cause of her death. However, these facts would change slightly once Penny Doe was analysed at the University of Pittsburgh by forensic anthropologist Dr. Dirk Matt in 1991, so the year after she was found. In his report, he states that she was likely 5'3", so slightly taller than the original autopsy. Namus also states that she was 4'11", but honestly, I don't know where that information came from. I did actually find a copy of Dr. Dirk Matt's forensic anthropological analysis of Penny Doe on Gavin Fish's website, so thank you Gavin Fish for making this public. Also just generally thank you to Gavin Fish for a lot of the information I have in this video. He's done a really in-depth sort of report of Penny Doe, sort of searching for her identity, and without him I probably wouldn't even know who she was, so here I am just spreading the word even further, but all of his work will be in the sources down below, of course. In his report, Dr. Dirk Matt also states that he used multiple age classifications in the analysis of Penny Doe's remains, all of which did provide a slightly different age range for the Doe, but they did all seem to suggest that she was in her 20s, either early, middle, or late 20s.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
However, he does note that her ribs do suggest a slightly older age range, maybe from 33 to 46. This is a very wide net that we're casting here. However, he does conclude that his estimate lies between 22 and 29 years old, which is older than the original 15 to 22 of the first autopsy. Again, in his work, in his report, Dr. Dirk Matt also noted something else. He noted that the only potentially perimortem bone modification on the skeleton, so something that happened at or just before the time of death, was a complete fracture of the right fibula. He writes, the clean break exhibits no evidence of healing and occurred shortly before death or during the subsequent handling or final placement of the body in the location where it was found. So basically this means at some point at the time of or just before death, Penny Doe broke her leg, or likely someone else broke it for her. Combined with her cause of death likely being blunt force trauma to the head, it seems that her death and the moments leading up to it were incredibly violent. Penny Doe may well have put up a very big fight, but seeing as she was so decomposed when she was found, that couldn't be ascertained from her remains. Or her body was just handled so roughly after death when it was seemingly thrown into the creek that her leg was broken then. I mean, imagine how little you have to care about a victim to treat a dead body in such a way to cause a broken leg. Your leg is generally pretty hard to break. Other than this broken leg, it doesn't seem like Penny had ever broken any other bone or had any other traumatic events happen to any of her bones. She'd managed to go all throughout life without breaking anything. In terms of any sort of identifying details about her body, Dirk Matt did note that Penny had this very uniquely shaped sternum and that it had this sort of exaggerated convexity and the right edge was twisted internally. In layman's terms, this may well have meant that Penny Doe had a slightly more indented region of the chest than most people, something that people close to her may well have noticed or at least known about. It was also ascertained that Penny may well have been right-handed thanks to the long bones of her upper right arm compared to the left, but Dirk Matt does note that this only hints at that, it's not a given, but likelihood is that she was right-handed. I know most people are right-handed and know that really doesn't give much away, but, you know, any identifying feature helps here. In January 1991, so about 5-6 months after Penny was found, Clarion County sent her skull to the Special Projects Section of the FBI in Washington, D.C., where a facial reconstruction was completed by an artist called Michael Taster, and this was sent back to state police at the beginning of February. Now, this reconstruction was a clay rendering of what Penny may have looked like in life, depicting her with dark brown shoulder-length hair, and it really does look incredibly lifelike. For my podcast listeners, a link to Penny Doe's Doe Network page will be in the notes. Make sure you go and click on that and take a look at what Penny looked like. This would just be the first of many reconstructions that would be created over the years, with what I think is the most recent one coming from the National Centre for Missing and Exploited Children. For my video viewers, it is on screen now. In my personal opinion from all these different reconstructions, I would guess that Penny may have been on the older end of the age spectrum, so sort of towards her late 20s, but really there's no way of knowing how accurate that is until she is finally identified, which I do have no doubt will happen eventually. In terms of publicity in Penny Doe's case after she was found, there really wasn't loads. There was a tiny article in a local newspaper just a couple of days after she was found. She was simply described as an unknown white female thought to be in her teen years. 4 days after her discovery, there was very little that had been gleaned through the investigation, so the police appealed directly to the public for any information about this body. I mean, they had literally nothing to work with to even begin an investigation here. Where do you begin when all you have is a decomposed body that isn't even slightly recognisable and nothing else even slightly identifiable in her pockets? They did check missing persons reports from the local area, but there was no one thought to be a match for Penny at the time. It was announced at this point that positive identification might not ever be possible here. Of course, they didn't know about the incoming DNA tech, but they do go on to say that identification is essential for the solving of the crime. Without her being identified, they'll never be able to find out who killed her. In May 1991, a news release was released with further details of the crime, her clothes, her height, her weight, but still no one ever came forward with anything. The authorities suspected that Penny Doe was not from the local area or from Clarion County as a whole. This was a rather small area where people tended to know people. If somebody went missing, somebody would have noticed. However, because of the location where her body was found, this very small road and small culvert, most people from the outside aren't going to know about it. It has always been suspected that the killer was from this area. However, again, because there are railroad tracks nearby on top of this tunnel or bridge, it could simply be that the killer just followed the tracks until they found this spot, but that does seem to be more unlikely to me personally than them actually being from the area. According to information on Doe Network, authorities are convinced that there are individuals in Clarion County who had contact with Penny and can help state police identify both her and her killer. For undisclosed reasons, they think she was in Clarion County for at most a month before she was killed, and she was brought into the area by a local individual. But in areas like this, secrets remain behind tight lips. There could be an element of intimidation. Somebody might well know something, but they've been scared into keeping it a secret. It is also worth noting that on Sunday, the 27th of May 1990, on Memorial Day weekend, there was actually a rock concert that took place about 15 miles from where Penny was found. About 5,100 people attended. It was this day-long outdoor concert called Music Alley, featuring a number of rock bands I've never heard of, but The Strand, Down to the Wire, Lawyers, Guns and Money. The concert was held on a farm 5 minutes from exit 6 of I-80, and it drew crowds from all around the surrounding states. The date of the concert is a couple of weeks earlier than it's estimated Penny Doe died. It was about 2 months before, and it seems that she was there for about 4 to 6 weeks, but there's no way of knowing for sure. She was quite decomposed. The concert would have brought in a number of people from outside this area, but technology in 1990 wouldn't have really let law enforcement share the details of their Jane Doe as easily as they might have been able to now. For all we know, there's a family in another state nearby, desperately searching for their loved one, unaware that she's been known as Penny Doe for all these years. You would think the family would have known that she was going to Pennsylvania for this concert and then just never came home. You'd think they would have alerted the authorities in Pennsylvania, but we don't know that for sure. Maybe they just didn't know where she was going and she just disappeared. It is suspected that Penny may have come from an area with fluoride in the water since her teeth were in really great condition. She had no fillings and no sign of decay. Her teeth were pretty much perfect. However, there were a couple of details that could be identifying. She had one chipped tooth in the upper right side of her mouth, which may have happened during or after her death, but there's no way of knowing for sure. She could have had this chip for a really long time.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of her front teeth was said to be short and stubby compared to the same tooth on the other side, something people may well have noticed when they spoke to her. She still had one of her upper baby teeth behind one adult tooth, it just hadn't fallen out when the adult tooth grew in. She also had one upper tooth that was 90% rotated. Now maybe these aren't things your standard person would notice, but her dentist most definitely would have done. Although with no fillings, there's no clear sign that she visited the dentist often, but you never know. I did try to do some research on this fluoride water situation, but I couldn't really find anything concrete dating all the way back to 1990. It seems that water fluoridation is something that is very common now across the USA, but numbers only really started hugely increasing in the 90s. I did manage to find this map on Wikipedia. It depicts the percentage of residents served with community water fluoridation. It seems like in 1990, Pennsylvania had less of a percentage than some of its nearby states, sort of mostly to the left. So Ohio, Indiana, West Virginia, Michigan, Illinois all had really high amounts of fluoridated water. This might not mean anything, but it could be important, so it's worth mentioning. From what her teeth are telling us, it's likely she came from one of these states. Now, in terms of DNA, according to Gavin Fish for exploreclarion.com, samples were taken back in 1990 or 1991 and were submitted to CODIS back then. Then another sample was taken and sent again to CODIS in 2012. But whilst CODIS is a great asset to the world of crime solving, it does have its limitations. You see, CODIS requires a direct match to provide an answer as to Penny's DNA. Essentially, somebody who knew Penny has to submit her DNA in order for a match to be found through CODIS. It's not like forensic genetic genealogy, it's not like ancestry DNA or GEDmatch, which will provide links to any genetic relative. So of course, the importance now is getting her DNA submitted to those databases as well as CODIS. But that means that more DNA needs to be extracted. Penny's remains still reside with Dr. Dirk Matt to this day, and according to part 3 of Gavin Fish's Explore Clarion investigation from November 2022, he has reached out to the current Clarion County coroner and asked if he would be willing to request a sample of Penny's bones from Dr. Dirk Matt. Of course, it's all bureaucracy, it all has to sort of go through the right channels for this to be legit. Luckily, the coroner agreed, then a few days later he had the sample and they worked together to get the sample over to the lab. The lab has remained anonymous. Gavin then actually assisted in extracting the DNA from the bones. I would highly recommend you go and read his articles. It's fascinating he was actually able to assist in this process. Once they had extracted Penny's DNA successfully, they sent this DNA to a second anonymous lab, and Gavin writes, from there, it's a waiting game. From here on out, it's all up to genetic genealogy, entering the DNA to the relevant databases and just waiting for a match to strike. And then, depending on how close a relative is, you've got to work back through the family trees, do more DNA tests on closer relatives until you have the answer. It is not a quick nor a simple process, and it's only ever complicated by family politics. Gavin writes that he fully intends for there to be a part 4 to his series, in which he hopes to be done with the genetic genealogy research, and maybe he'll even know who Penny is. It is now May 2023 and there's no answers yet, but these things take time. Hopefully, with a touch more publicity, somebody will come forward providing some more answers. and hopefully with an identity, they'll be able to find out who is responsible for her death, because Penny Doe deserves justice. I do always sort of like balk a little bit at covering these cases, which very much seems to be on the precipice of being unsolved, when there are so many unsolved cases out there which really do need like a big push forward, they really need a big movement. But with a case like Penny's, which is on the precipice with genetic genealogy, there's a big chance that she could be solved, could be identified very, very soon. But all it takes is for one person to watch this video, for somebody to watch it, then talk about it to a friend who talks about it to a friend, and then somebody remembers that around May 1990...
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
They had a cousin, a sister, a niece who went missing and nobody knows what happened to her. Maybe it could be her. And they give the police a call, and from there it's just a domino effect. You never know, that could happen. These cases, they always need that bit more publicity. You just never know. Thank you so much for tuning in today and for spending this time with me and with Penny. Hopefully next time I say her name, it is her real name, her birth name. Fingers crossed. Thank you for tuning in, and I'll see you in the next one. Bye, guys.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.